Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the brightness of God, dear fellow redeemed. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily walk of faith on this Transfiguration Sunday is Mark's account of the Transfiguration, found in chapter 9 of his Gospel. We'll read verses 2 through 10. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up on a high mountain, where they were alone by themselves. There he was transfigured in front of them. His clothes became radiant, dazzling white, whiter than anyone on earth could bleach them. And Elijah appeared to them together with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make 3 tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say because they were terrified. A cloud appeared and overshadowed them, and a voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. They kept the matter to themselves, discussing with one another what this rising from the dead meant. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. During this season of Epiphany, we have been looking at various accounts from the Gospels and asking the question, what does this text reveal about Jesus? And during the past 6 weeks, we've been reminded of different truths about Jesus, different characteristics of Jesus. We've been reminded and had it revealed to us from Scripture, Jesus' power, his compassion, his generosity, his love, his ability to heal us in every way, and his unending commitment to do only what is truly good for us, especially spiritually. Well, what our text reveals to us about Jesus for today's Transfiguration Sunday is pretty obvious. It's kind of the whole purpose of the Transfiguration, isn't it? It reveals without a doubt that Jesus is true God. Our text for today about the Transfiguration of Jesus reveals without a doubt that Jesus is true God. In fact, there are very few proofs in the Bible for Jesus being true God that are as obvious or as clear or as rock solid as the Transfiguration. I would say that probably apart from his resurrection, the Transfiguration is the greatest proof, the definitive epiphany, the revealing of the fact that Jesus is true God. Think about what we just read. Think about the proofs that we just saw. In this incident, we have visible proofs that Jesus is God, as he claimed to be. Our text tells us that he was transfigured in front of them. His clothes became radiant, dazzling white, whiter than anyone on earth could bleach them. And if you read the same account from the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew tells us his face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as the light. Not only do we have this visible proof of Jesus' Godhead, we have audible proof that Jesus is true God, just as he claimed to be. We see this cloud covering the disciples and Jesus and Moses and Elijah, and then we hear the approval of God the Father himself from that cloud, saying, "This is my Son whom I love. Listen to him." So yes, Jesus' transfiguration reveals without a doubt that Jesus is true God. Think of how important that is. When I was younger, probably up until I became a pastor, I didn't really get and realize just how important the Transfiguration was. Now it's become one of my favorite accounts in the Scriptures because it is extremely important. Think of how important it was to strengthen and confirm the faith of his disciples, especially Peter, James, and John, who were there that day, who saw this for themselves, saw him transfigured, heard that voice from the cloud. Think of how important this account is to confirm and strengthen our faith. Jesus is who he claimed to be. He is true God, and we've heard God the Father confirm it. That much is pretty obvious from our text. However, let's look a little closer at and consider something else from this text that might not be as obvious. That this account of Jesus' transfiguration reveals to us about Jesus. In all the dazzling brightness, the display of Jesus' glory and his Godhead that our text reveals, it can be pretty easy to overlook the fact that this text also reveals that Jesus came to suffer, to die, and rise again. I might even be more emphatic about that. It reveals that Jesus had to come to suffer and die and rise again. Why didn't Jesus just stay on that mountain? Why did he just stay in that form, in his resplendent glory? That's what Peter wanted to do. Can we blame him? We often kind of cluck our tongues at Peter and say, Peter, why did you say and do that? But Peter sometimes comes up with some really good things in the accounts in the Gospels. This, I think, is one of them. Peter says to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let's make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. I'm with Peter. That would have been incredible to have been there, to see that sight, to be enveloped by that cloud. Yes, it was terrifying, as the text says, but then to hear the voice of God the Father confirm that Jesus was his son. And just as almost a throw-in, you have the two greatest prophets of the Old Testament there, talking with Jesus, Moses and Elijah. Wow. I'm with Peter. Let's just build three tents and let's stay there in that scene forever. But Jesus couldn't stay on that mountain, could he? He had work to do. He had a mission that he had to accomplish, or we and all people would be lost. In fact, it was his upcoming suffering and death that he was discussing with Moses and Elijah when they appeared. Luke tells us they were discussing his departure, or as some translations put it, his decease, his death, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. No doubt these were words of encouragement, maybe even words of anticipation from Moses and Elijah, who were representatives of the Old Testament in its entirety. Jesus knew that he had to do this. He knew that this was his mission and it had to be accomplished. He even told his disciples that this was his true mission as the Messiah, the Savior of the world. If you go back one chapter, in fact, just a few verses from this text, we hear Jesus telling his disciples this. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after that, and after 3 days, rise again. He spoke this word openly. That's Mark chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. Jesus knew that this unglorious, ugly aspect of being the Son of God was just as important and as necessary as the glorious brightness, the shining, the transfiguration that revealed his power as Almighty God. In fact, this ugly side of his work, his humiliation, his suffering for the sins of all people, was in a real sense more glorious than even the radiant, shining brightness of his Godhead here on the Mountain of Transfiguration. After all, his suffering and sacrifice of his own life for our sins earned mankind the eternal and unending glorious brightness of heaven itself. Not some temporary scene on a mountain, but the eternal glory and brightness of heaven itself. A place that is free from sin, sorrow, sickness, and death. A place that has no ugly side. As we enter into the season of Lent, with Ash Wednesday coming up this Wednesday, do we sort of dread getting back into that ugly side of Jesus' life here on this earth? The Transfiguration is always such a great breath of fresh air, a joyful, a bright Sunday, right before the darkness of Lent. Maybe we're like Peter. Maybe we'd just rather stay here on the mountain. Pastor, just keep preaching about transfiguration for the next 6 weeks. We're good. Keep the hymns upbeat. Keep the message real positive and bright and glorious. When we feel that way, and it's understandable, we also need to remind ourselves that the glory of Jesus' humiliation is a part of who Jesus is. He's the Son of God and also the Son of Man. We need to remember that Jesus may have shown himself to be true God by the glorious brightness of his transfiguration, but he showed his true glory, his immeasurable love, the glory of his love, by his cross. During this upcoming Lenten season, let's let that image of Jesus' transfiguration and his glorious brightness burn in our hearts and our minds. Use it for the purpose Jesus gave it to his disciples and to us. Draw encouragement from it. Draw strength from it as we again go through the dark and ugly days of his suffering and death. Remember what this transfiguration reveals to us about Jesus. It reveals first and foremost that Jesus is, without a doubt, true God. And that this glimpse of his glory also gives us a glimpse of heaven itself, the glories that await us when this life is over. The glories that Jesus won for us, because he didn't stay on that mountain of transfiguration. Thank God. He finished his mission on the top of a different mountain, Mount Calvary. And so never forget this, that in this account it's revealed that Jesus had to come to suffer and die and rise again. Let that be the light at the end of the tunnel of this often very difficult and dark and, yes, ugly life. When we come down from the mountain of Jesus' glorious transfiguration today, when we get on with the work of our everyday lives that's often less than glorious, let's remember the true glory of Jesus. Those ugly wounds and stripes that he took for us give us healing. The shame of that ugly chunk of wood on which he hung gives us the beauty, brightness, and glory of heaven. That cross shows us Christ's true love. That cross brings us joy, the joy of forgiveness and salvation. And that cross is no longer where Jesus is. He is risen. And because of that, we know that we too will rise. Yes, in the brightness of Jesus' transfiguration, we see Jesus' Godhead. But in his cross and in that empty tomb, we truly see our beautiful Savior. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.